The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seized him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulsed him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Sunday of the Transfiguration, one of those Sundays that liturgical churches find rather important. It's a white Sunday. And I've now knocked my microphone off. We all get up there. All right. A white Sunday. And the white Sundays represent Jesus. We have Christmas is a white Sunday. Epiphany is a white Sunday. Transfiguration, Christ the King. And the cycle keeps going around. But why Transfiguration? Well, this is a pivotal point in the Gospels, and in fact, in all of Christian history. Jesus picks three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. We know these three. They have traveled together. They were some of Jesus' first chosen disciples. We don't know about the other nine. I imagine they're kind of like the rest of us that didn't get to go up the mountain with Jesus. So, we, like those nine, are spectators. But Luke tells the story well. So Jesus takes these three up the mountain. It's not a magical trip. It's a dusty, dirty trip up the mountain. But in biblical imagery, if you're going up the mountain, there's a good chance you're going to encounter God. Moses did it. Pastor Bob read that from the first reading. Of course, he didn't read the one where Moses came down with two tablets and dashed them on the ground and made the people, you know. This was the second trip around. And the people received the tablets. But when Moses came down the mountain, and Moses is a primary figure for all of Judaism, and of course was back in Jesus' day, Moses led the people out of Egypt at God's command and with God's miraculous intervention. Moses, for God, led the Exodus, led God's people to freedom. And in the history of the Old Testament, we have no record of Moses' death. So many think that Moses just went straight to God when his work was done, and of course he didn't get into the Promised Land. There's some biblical trivia for you who do trivia nights. Moses did not get into the Promised Land. His successor, Joshua, led them in. Now I'm giving you lots of little bits of information here, and it's going to make sense, I hope, in a little bit. But Moses, when Moses encountered God, and Moses was the only one, apparently, to see God face to face, the glory of God shone so brightly that Moses, when he went back to the people, had to put a veil over his face so that that reflection of God wouldn't blind them. Moses was the reflection of the glory of God, the light of God, the face of God. Right after Moses encountered God, Moses was brilliant and had to cover up a little bit because it was too much for the people. But it was Moses that was chosen to lead the Exodus. Now, Elijah was some generations later, Elijah the prophet. If you recall, Elijah, who was also at the Transfiguration, was the other representative from the Old Testament. Elijah performed miracles along with his prophetic voice. Elijah healed the sick. Elijah raised the dead. Elijah fed the hungry. And so when people ask Jesus many years later, who do people say that I am? The obvious answer was, you're Elijah. Because you see, Elijah has no record of death either in the Old Testament. If you recall, Elijah went straight up into the sky, leaving his mantle for his sidekick, Elisha. So we have these two greats from the Old Testament. And the people of Jesus' day would have told stories about them just like we do in faith formation. Because these are important stories to the history of God's people. Moses and Elijah. Now, Peter and James and John must have just been beside themselves. Okay? They're fishermen. And they had just walked up a mountain, which is not in the character of a fisherman. They kind of like the flat places. But they did to follow Jesus, because when Jesus says, follow you, you follow Jesus. They went up the mountain and they saw Moses and Elijah. How did they know who it was, right? Did Jesus introduce them? Hi, Peter, James, and John, I'd like you to be, I don't know. I can only envision how that went, because they didn't have cameras. Nobody knew what these guys looked like, but they knew. They just knew. And sometimes you know when you're in the presence of something unexplainable. But then they didn't last long. They talked. And now in verse 31, it says, they appeared in glory and they were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The word is not departure. The word is exodus. The three of them were talking about Jesus' exodus. Do you understand how important that word is in the presence of Moses and Elijah and all of God's salvation history? Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem, and he was talking with Moses and Elijah about it. And what Jesus' trip to Jerusalem meant, first of all, is that there would be no more veil between God and God's people. The veil would be lifted forever. Remember when the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom? There was no more separation between God and God's people, God's creation. But also that Jesus came not just to die, but to liberate. To liberate the people just as the people were liberated as they exodused out of Egypt. Now, Jesus has come to liberate all humanity in the name of God. He came to heal. He came to proclaim God's unconditional love. He came to set us free from sin and temptation and the work of the devil. The powers of this world through the cross and the resurrection, the powers of this world were vanquished by Jesus. Just as surely as Moses led the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, or toward the promised land. The difference here is that Jesus accomplished his mission. There's another little wordplay here, because you know who finished the job for Moses was Joshua. In Hebrew, it's the same word as Jesus. Jesus finishes the job. That we might live in that light, in that glory, in that love, and we don't have to climb a mountain. All we have to do is receive the grace with grateful hearts. Jesus exodused us. That we are free to love our neighbors without fear. That we are free to hope when things seem hopeless. Because we know that God sees the big picture. This week we pray for all sorts of things. I have ancestors buried in Ukraine. I'm from the people that moved into the Midwest from Ukraine. They were Germans, and Catherine the Great brought them to Ukraine to farm for them for about 100 years until they got tired of the Germans and wanted to conscript them into the military and tax them and so on. So I have about three generations of great-great-great-grandparents buried in Ukraine. And I can't imagine what it's like to be there in person and to be torn between running to another country, leaving everything behind, speaking of Exodus, or staying and fighting, which if you're under 60, you will be called up. My heart breaks for those people. And still, I wonder, maybe it's selfish of me, wonder if the graves of my ancestors are being bombed. And those things weigh heavy on my heart. You have things that weigh heavy on your heart. Jesus came. He exodused for us that we might focus on love and grace and his liberating mercy. In the end, God wins. In the end, love wins. Until then, we follow Jesus as best we can, wherever we are and with whatever we've got to follow him with. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.